Romans 12:1-2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, please bless the word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As you take your seat, I want to speak to you from Think the Right Thing. Think the right thing. I know Spike Lee got to do the right thing, but we're going to think the right thing. And when you think the right thing, you will do the right thing. See, there is a scene in the third episode of the last season, pray for your pastor, on Game of Thrones, where the Nightwalkers were throwing their own bodies on the fiery trench that was lit. It was lit to keep them from crossing over to get to the castle. Although they knew they would die, they continued to pile their bodies on the same spot where the fire was, because even though they knew that they would die, they knew eventually the fire would be smothered by their bodies and the rest of them would be able to walk across and get to the walls of the castle to breach the security of the people. That's dedication. This scripture is written to the brethren, the brothers and sisters, which means to you and me, letting us know that our bodies have a purpose. Now, God is not going to ask you to do with our bodies what the Night King on Game of Thrones asked his people to do. But we are to use our bodies in the service of God. And what God is asking is totally reasonable. It is reasonable because Jesus died to redeem us from eternal death and hell. So we should have no problem serving him with our whole being. Then, as we serve him, we are never to forget him as our example. We are not to be conformed to the world around us, to be squeezed into the mold or continue in ungodly behavior. Instead, we are to be transformed in a process like a metamorphosis by renewing our minds with God's word. The word of God will renovate our thinking and thus transform our behavior to be as much like Jesus on the outside as on the inside. The process of renovation is an interesting one. You tear down some walls, replace the plumbing and electrical wiring, and completely redecorate. Moreover, you add appliances, furniture, and conveniences that you have never used before. The basic structure is there, but everything contained in that structure is brand new. The same thing happens when you are born again. Our bodies in the basic structure, and it's still the basic structure, and then the great decorator, the Holy Spirit, moves in. He brings the life of God into our spirits, and the first thing he tells us is, the past is gone. This is a new day, and you are a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is talking about our spirits. Although our soul or our mind, emotions, and will is affected by the miracle transformation, it has not been transformed. So the great decorator begins to tear down old habits of thinking and behaving that are contrary to the truth of God's word. The result is that we change. We begin to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God to ourselves and everyone around us. What I have just described is leaving the low life, living for ourselves according to our senses and natural thinking, for the high life, living for Jesus according to the word and the spirit. Can I tell you something? When you stop living for yourself and start operating on a different spiritual level, people begin to be influenced by you. Oh, it's a funny thing. I got to say this, and I didn't say it at 8 o'clock, so I don't know which one we're going to use. But it's amazing how I look at the city, and when I first began to become a police chaplain, you know, they called me Uncle Tom, that is. Yeah, they did. They said, you're working with the police. Why are you working with the police? The police shoot us. And I said, God told me I'm supposed to be an inside man. And I had a problem when I came here to with the police before I got here, but God gave me a revelation when I had an accident and a police officer came up to me right here in this city and said, I need you to get off the phone. And I was, anyway, the whole thing was, dude was rude. And God said, I need you to do a basketball game to bring people together, and I need you to make sure that the police are there because I need you to bridge the gap between the police and the community. And everybody was looking at me, Uncle Tom this, Uncle Tom this. Now everybody want to be around the police. Which is good, because why? When you begin to stop worrying about yourself and worrying about how people look at you and worrying about how they view you and just worry about what God tells you to do, God can use you in a mighty way. The problem is we continue to conform to the world and try to be accepted by the world more than we want to be accepted by God. So what, you offend somebody if you're doing what God tells you to do? So what, somebody don't like you if you're doing what God tells you to do? So what, you lose friends because you're doing what God is wants you to do? God says, if you love your mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of me. He said, if you grab the hold of this plow and you let it go, which means if you start walking for the kingdom and then you let it down just because people start talking about you, you're not worthy of me. But anyway, that was a word from our sponsors. Back to our regular scheduled program. See, after the new birth, we operate on an entirely different level. We still remember our past and have the same thoughts. The ungodly patterns are still there, but now we have no desire to continue them. A revolution has taken place inside of us. Our spirits have rejected Satan's rule and surrendered completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now our soul and body have to line up with this revolutionary spiritual change, and the process of renovation begins. God created our body to be submitted to our soul, and our soul to be submitted to our spirit, which is submitted to the Lord. We were created to love and work with him. When we are born again, we are restored to the original purpose. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27 says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. See, this passage of scripture tells us that when we are born again, we will be able to do everything God asks us to do in the new covenant. We can walk in his statutes, keep his judgments, and obey his word and will. We can do them. That means that everything in our lives will be changed for the better. Ezekiel 36, 33 through 35 says, thus says the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate are ruined, cities are become fenced and are inhabited. These verses describe the renovation and restoration process that happens in our souls and bodies after we are born again and begin to renew our minds. Apart from God, our lives were desolate and unfruitful, but now that we have been redeemed and restored to him as our Lord and Savior, the whole landscape is changing. We are beginning to look like the Garden of Eden. When unbelievers are around us, they sense there is a higher level of life available to them. And why is this happening? Because we are thinking right. Can I tell you something? Some people around you that don't believe are going to look at you and admire you and want to be like you and want to get your advice, and they're going to get on your nerves a little bit. But at least they ain't hating on you. And then some folk gonna see your power and be intimidated by it and try to destroy you. The thing about it is both of them see something in you that sometimes you don't even see. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? They can sense that you're different because they're trying to kill you in secret and you don't even know it. Or they know something that's going on at your job, people trying to destroy you, and you just walking through it. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? See, the shadow of death is you can't see it. See, some of y'all think, oh, yeah, I remember when God did this. Oh, he saved me. But he saved you from the stuff you don't even know about. He saved you from some things that the devil has set up in your life that you didn't even see. He set up, he annihilated the devil in the midst of the shadow, the person that was trying to destroy you, and you don't even know what's going on, but people at your job looking at you, like, how in the world did she escape that? When Adam fell, the human brain was affected. It no longer took its orders from a spirit that was filled with God's spirit. Being spiritually dead inside, people lived according to what they perceived outside. The biggest outside influence was Satan and his demons. They fed them all kinds of thoughts. Where do you think Cain got the idea to kill his brother Abel? There had never been death or murder in the garden. Cain didn't know what these things were. Someone had to introduce the idea and image into his mind, and that someone was Satan the destroyer. When an unbeliever comes to church, I be preaching, and the devil will tell them, that man doesn't even like you. See how he just looked at you? Do you hear how he's talking about you? That lost soul has no idea that those thoughts are not their thoughts. They have no idea that what I really think or feel about them. In fact, I don't know them. That's why we take authority over the enemy before we preach and release the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. If an unbeliever comes into our congregation, we want them to hear from God and not the devil. We want them to hear the truth and be set free. That's why I need you to be prayed up when you come to church, because somebody can be delivered because they're sitting beside your anointed. Somebody can be set free because you're walking in the anointed. When you come in here, yes, you want to be transformed, but I need you to come in knowing that your spirit is going to transform somebody else. Stop coming in here every day for a withdrawal. I need you to come in here and make a deposit with your spirit. I need somebody to be slain in the spirit because they're sitting beside you with your powerful self. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Stop letting the devil call you ugly. Stop letting the devil call you weak. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You shall live and not die. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. You are a mighty man and woman of valor. Walk in your glory. Don't get me going too much. You can stay right there, though, but I ain't ready. It's a chill sermon. Just 11 o'clock just done came from the club, and they got me crunk. So that was it. It's y'all. Sometimes y'all fool. Y'all thought they had the Holy Ghost. Them jokers just still smoking from the club. We've learned that our thoughts are not original. Ideas come either from God or the devil. And Jesus taught us that we can take thoughts or not take thoughts. In Matthew 6:31, he said, take no thought. He knows the enemy shoots thoughts at us. As children of God, the devil has no access to our spirits, but he can introduce thoughts in our minds. We understand from God's word that we do not have to take any thought the enemy gives us. In fact, if we have a thought that is not saying anything God has ever said in his word, we need to cast that thing down immediately. The enemy's job is to deceive people, just like he did Eve. He will use a little of God's word and then bend it and change it to get us off track and away from God's truth. Then he can trap us in bondage. In Genesis 3:1, he said, did God say you couldn't eat of every tree in the garden? Of course, that's not what God said. God said, you can eat from every tree except one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that one or you will die. The serpent was making God look stingy and controlling when God really was just warning Adam and Eve of the dangerous consequences of eating from the tree. If we read Genesis 3, 2 through 4, we see clearly how knowing God's word is the only thing that keeps us from deception and calamity. Unfortunately, Eve didn't understand what God actually said. She answered the serpent, "Well, God said we shouldn't touch it or we would die." Now she got it in her hand. And so when the snake saw that, he knew he had her. She didn't know what God really said. So Satan went right on to completely contradicting God. The serpent said, "You won't die." He called God a liar to Eve's face, and she didn't even get it. When Adam came into the picture, he never contradicted the snake. He didn't consult the Lord. He just decided he could do better without God. He left the authority of God's word, ate of the forbidden tree, and the rest is history. Mankind's thoughts from that moment on were dominated by Satan and the world systems he set up on earth. Jesus gave us the way out of Satan's kingdom and told us we didn't have to take his thoughts. We can reject ungodly images and ideas if it is bad, it's a bad thought that contradicts God's word and gives us a check in our spirits. We should cast it down and meditate on the truth instead. And if we have a thought that originates outside of us instead of inside of us, we need to compare it to the word of God. If it isn't of God, we must reject it and go back to meditating on the truth. If we have a good thought that comes from inside us and lines up with God's word, we take it. We plant that thought in our hearts, and that idea grows into a new image inside of us. If that new image clashes with an old idea that has been in our lives a long time, we need to get rid of that old idea that was not godly. We reject it and replace it with God's truth. See, this process of renewing or renovating our minds with the word of God is the opposite of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They talked to the serpent instead of God, rejected God's word, and chose to believe the lies of the devil. But as believers, we learn to think right. When a thought comes that runs contrary to the word or causes an uneasiness in our spirits, we kick out the devil and his lies. We stay in communion with the Holy Ghost and line up every thought with the truth of his word. We have learned how the mind has both a conscious and subconscious function, right? Many of our everyday decisions are made by our conscious mind. We see things, evaluate the facts, and choose the best way to go. We are aware of ourselves, our thoughts, the situation, and our decision. But most of us have no idea how many times we react and how many thought patterns are driven by our subconscious. Have you ever talked to somebody and they swear they're telling you the truth? But you're like, "Girl, you lying." Because they do certain things subconsciously that they don't even know when they're lying. Huh? Have I ever seen that? You know, your children think they can get away with something, but you know they lying because they got a certain stuttering problem, or they got a way they look to a certain direction, or they start sweating, or they be like, "What had happened was." Yeah, Negroes know they lying right there. "What had happened was, you lying." Because subconsciously we do things and don't even realize we're doing. The subconscious is that part of us that functions without our conscious perception or the normal mental process. We are not consciously aware of it. If we are asleep and a fly lands on our face, our arm and hand automatically swat it, but we have no memory of it because we were asleep and unconscious when it happened. We can also be awake and do things subconsciously. Through the years, we have trained ourselves to think, speak, and do things automatically. We have a set point that has been programmed into our subconscious mind. This can be good or bad depending on whether God did the programming or the enemy did the programming. Either way, it's set. It is what we are used to and what we expect. See, renewing our mind includes getting into the subconscious and changing any set point that does not line up with God's word. See, the purpose of the subconscious mind is to keep us from changing. So it rejects change. If you have ridden a bicycle a certain way for a long time, and all of a sudden after 20 years, you want to start riding it another way, and then you have to keep concentrating on changing that style, and then all of a sudden one day you walk in the garage, you get on the bike, and by the time you get on, you're like, oh, wow, I'm riding it a new way without even thinking. Unfortunately, many of our subconscious set points were programmed by the enemy. Look, many of us have a set point of speaking things that are detrimental to our lives. There is much power in words. See, when we speak our words, when we speak, our words go deep into our own hearts and change the way we think. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and what we speak changes the outside. We can reset the inside by speaking, and then we speak from the inside in faith, and the outside changes. See, my life improved when my word life improved. I expect to be blessed because I always speak that I'm blessed, which makes me expect to be blessed because that's what I hear all the time, so it gets in my heart. But some of us speak the opposite all the time, and that's why we're not experiencing the abundant life that God wants us to have. Stop claiming being broke and claim being blessed. See, look at this. 3 John 1 and 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. How does your soul prosper? When our minds are renewed with God's word and we learn to think right. From the moment we are born, the enemy tries to program our minds, conscious and subconscious, to be like him. He also programs our conscience, tells us what's right and wrong. Therefore, if we're going to think right, we need to get our conscience lined up with God's word too. See, before I got saved, and a little bit after I got saved, because Satan used to be Lucifer, the archangel who was in charge of praising and worshiping God, he knows the power of music, and he uses it. That's why I'm glad my ministry of music down with me. That's why I'm glad my praise team don't fight each other no more. Because when the praises go up, God begins to bless. Huh? See, I used to love this song back in the day, Sister Clark. Mrs. Jones. What? We got a thing going on. I had to stop singing that. That song about adultery. You can't get that in your spirit. Huh? And some of y'all women lonely because you had love on a two-way street, but then you lost it on a lonely highway. Huh? Out there looking for love in all the wrong places. Because how many people done probably murdered people seriously because of some song they were listening to? But I like the beat. You like that dope beat, but you got the beat, but it's lyrics getting put in your mind through your conscious mind, and in your subconscious, you don't even know it's there. I was looking at the history of hip-hop the other day, Deacon Ross, and they began to talk about the 3-6 Mafia, and they began to show me the lyrics that they were singing. Like, oh my God. I used to listen to this. I had no idea. They really are devil worshipers. 3-6 Mafia, dummy. Duh. 3-6, 666. That's your clue. But I ain't know what I was listening to, Rel. I'm just listening to the beat. You ever been driving down the street and you going fast because you listen to some crazy music and you're like, I need to slow down. Woo, woo. You got a ticket. Listen to some crazy song because it got into your spirit and began to control your actions. After Tupac got shot the second time, I was like, I don't need to listen to no more rap music. I need to leave it alone. But he kept talking about the early death. Shed so many tears. Mama, don't cry, even when they kill me. Well, I don't want them to kill me. Stop. And then, Sister Buster Reynolds, Biggie didn't learn his lesson. After Tupac got shot, he made a record called Death, and he died the next year. You got to be careful what you listen to, because the devil is programming you through the stuff you listen to. Stop letting him fool you with that garbage you put in your mind. You better leave Mrs. Jones alone, unless her name is Miss Jones. Be careful, because the devil is capturing your heart and you letting it go through your conscious mind while you listening, and then it gets to your subconscious. Let me tell you why. Another reason I had to stop listening to Tupac, I was riding to school listening to Tupac, what, and I got to the school and a little boy pulled a knife on me in high school. And you know, I ain't gonna tell the details, because I don't know if I didn't pass the statute of limitations, but I was like, let's go outside. Then I was like, man, you know what? That's when I had to really get rid of all my CDs. I was like, look here, man, Tupac making me go crazy. Cause you saying something to me, I'm ready. Like what? Nook, if you buck. Nook, nook, you buck. Nook, nook. Huh? Huh? I'm ready now. Just a little bit. Making sure. Some people walk around here broke because of the song they listen to. Stop letting him control your mind. What he's doing is getting these lyrics in you, and it's perverting your conscience in your mind, and you can't control what you do, because either God is controlling you or the devil is controlling you. You better ask CeeLo if you thought you was in control. You crazy. It's either God or the devil. Ain't no gray areas. The devil fooling you. God said, I spit out lukewarm people that act like they with me who ain't with me. Come on, somebody. Can I be real with you? Can I be real with you, Brother Sean? If you got an enemy and your enemy do you wrong, you crazy if you get mad. You know they're your enemy. But if somebody you thought was on your team act the fool, ain't no gray area with you. I ain't dealing with them no more. You will have a conversation with an enemy you know that's your enemy before you have a conversation with somebody you thought was your friend that really was your enemy. Because you respect somebody who say, at least I know they don't like me. Anyway. See, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had the same challenges we face today. In the Bible, Egypt is a type of world and world system. And Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Israel has spent a lot of years being programmed by the enemy. By the time God delivered them, when they got to the promised land and the 12 spies came back with their reports, they believed the evil reports, because their set point was based on not on God's promises, it was based on the wrong thinking of Egypt. Look at Numbers 14, 1 through 3. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Huh? These people had been slaves in Egypt. Their lives were miserable and oppressed there. Their set point was misery and oppression. So that was all they could see when they had heard the good and evil reports of the promised land. Instead, they are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years while God tried to get Egypt out of them. He did miracle after miracle to try to replace their old set point of misery and oppression with faith in his word. Still, their hearts were hard and they resisted God again and again. They chose to continue in their stinking thinking. He tried to expose them to something different, yet they still had Egypt in them. Exodus 32, 1 through 6 says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Moses went up to the mountain to get something good from God, but their eyes, but in their eyes, he stayed too long. So now what is coming out of them, see, what their automatic reaction to the situation, what is it? Egypt started coming out of them. They wanted to build a golden calf like the one the Egyptians worshiped. God was trying to move them out of the ghetto into a nice neighborhood, and all they could think about was how they missed the hood. Trying to expose into something different. But you got to get your mind right and stop thinking about the bad things. See, the Bible, Miss Rosita, says that the poor are destroyed by their poverty. Why are they destroyed by their poverty? Because that's what they think about all the time. Whatever you think about is really who you are. Whatever is in your heart, that's who you are. And if you keep thinking about, I don't want to get stuck in the ghetto, that's where you're going to be. Some people are so caught up with paying rent, they don't want to own nothing. Paying the same or more, but used to the landlord fixing stuff. Well, you do know they charging you more money up front, because whatever you're paying for that little place, you could be paying the same thing and being somewhere better. But the devil wants to keep you in a place where God can't give you any equity, where God can't give you wealth. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of the broke mentality of the church. Let me tell you why. See, the reason why the church is so silent is because we don't never expect to be the head. You don't expect God to bless you. I expect God to bless me. So that's why when I go and I talk to the police, I talk to the mayor, I respect their position. I respect them as men of God. I respect them as people. I respect senators and everybody. But when I go into a place, I don't expect to just sit there and nobody listen to me. I expect them to listen to me because the authority that God has me walking in, because I'm supposed to be a change agent. Come on, somebody. You're supposed to be somebody taking territory from the devil. And God continue to show you miracle after miracle in your life to show you. See, y'all be looking at the people of Egypt. Man, he split the Red Sea and they walked through it. I would have believed after that. And then they walked through the Jordan. But how many Jordan rivers has God split in your life? How many times you thought you weren't going to make it out of a situation, but you keep back reverting back to your old messed up mind, thinking that you're not fearfully and wonderfully made? How many times has God got you out of a situation at your job when somebody was lying on you and you still there? How many times you thought you weren't going to be able to pay your rent, but you still standing and you haven't missed a meal? But instead of letting that miracle set your mind into a place where you expect abundance, you go right back to the ghetto thinking. Right back to wanting to be broke. Men and the preachers start talking about prosperity, you get offended because you broke. But you need to stop thinking that you broke, because God said, I supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Reset your mind to abundance.
You know why some people couldn't make it over here, Deacon McClendon and Deacon Woody? You know why they couldn't make it over here? They couldn't expect an abundance. They wanted to be stuck in the same room and be right there and have to have 20 different meetings in 20 different days of the week, and we ain't got but 7. Because they're not used to it, but they don't want to be able, they can understand that we can have 7 meetings at the same time, and this minister can do this, and they can do this, and we don't even have to clash because they weren't used to an abundance. They had been set to what they went through in the 30s and 40s and 50s where they didn't have anything but one pair of shoes, but now God wants them to walk in abundance. You don't have to sit on the back of the bus no more. You don't have to go to the balcony no more. You don't have to go into a different restaurant no more. God has blessed you. Get your mind right. Tired. It grieves me when church folk love to be broke. They love sob stories, Brother Claiborne. They love to be the victim. I gave somebody an opportunity to try to help their business, and they, well, you know, I just want to be broke. That's what they heard. When I hear excuses, all I hear is, I want to stay broke. I don't know why I ain't get this hype at 8 o'clock. They must be having more money, y'all. That's a rich service. Well, they do get more tithe and offering and less people in there, so that should be my clue. I ain't even had to preach this hard with them. Y'all making me sweat. I got the same suit on. The same everything on. I used to have to change my whole suit. Well, at least the shirts and stuff. I keep the jacket, but y'all making me sweat. I need you to say this. Because I'm telling you, I know I'm laughing, but it ain't funny right now. Because I'm telling you, I'm preaching harder here than I preached at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, I was chilling. It's some broke folk in here. It is. Y'all laughing, and some of y'all laughing because it's you and you don't want nobody to know it's you. Some broke folk in here. I need to break that curse of poverty on your life. God wants you to walk in abundance. He came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Yes, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to have mansions, but don't you want something down here? Huh? I remember King gave a speech and they were talking about, he said, I know they keep telling me about the new heaven, but what about the new New York? He said, I know I get a mansion up there, but I want a mansion down here. I want some shoes and some suits down here. God wants you to have an abundant life so your voice can be magnified. My God. Look at this. It's never the color of your skin or the fact that you came from the other side of the tracks that holds you back. What holds you back from living a high life in Jesus Christ is wrong thinking. When we get to thinking like Jesus, then we can begin to live like Jesus. See, stop thinking Jesus was broke. Stop it. He had a treasurer, and he was stealing money, and didn't nobody know he was stealing but John. Again, if you had $10 and somebody stole 5, everybody know. They brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh when he was a baby. It ain't that. They didn't have money to get in the inn. They said there wasn't no room. It was sold out. Homecoming was going on that week or something. They didn't have no reservations. They went to the inn to pay for it. They had the money. They just didn't have no room. You feel me? Jesus was a carpenter, built. How he had money. Pharisees and Sadducees ain't talking to nobody broke. When we come into prosperity in our families, our churches, we will come into it, our health, and our callings, when our souls prosper, when we learn the word and know that God wants us to be blessed. This is why I usually be hooping and hollering, but I don't want to because I want you to hear this. And you might not hear it if I go, You might miss something, but I need you to, no, for real. Think right, and you will live right. Think right, you will live right. Live right, and every area of your life will prosper. Oh, your relationship will prosper. Your finances will prosper. Your health will prosper. Your career will prosper. Your success will prosper. Your family will prosper. Your church will prosper. Your city will prosper. When you get the right attitude and understand that God wants you to be blessed, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you're blessed in the valley and blessed in the field, you're blessed in your coming and blessed in your going, you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. When you begin to understand that and walk in the power and think in the power and renew your mind, God will take you from one level to the next. I'm talking to somebody that needs to walk in this abundant life. I'm talking to somebody that needs to walk in blessings and prosperity. Stop expecting to be broke and start expecting to be blessed. People get mad at me when I say I'll never be broke. I'll never be broke. I done been broke before, but I ain't going back. I have been delivered. And I shall not turn back. Never gonna be broke again. I'm gonna keep on tithing because he said if I tithe, he'll rebuke the devourer. He'll give me a good measure of blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm gonna make sure I bless who he say bless. I'll make sure I stay away from who he say stay away from. My thinking is right, and I know he want me to be an abundant person. You know why he wants you to be abundant? Nobody listen to broke people. See, you thought God wanted you to be blessed for you. He says, I will bless you for my name's sake. His name, not yours. He bless you because he looks good when you bless. And when you bless, when you talk, somebody will listen to you. He wants to magnify your voice. That's why he blesses you. That's why he bless your business. To magnify your voice. Nobody listen to broke people. If you do, you're crazy. I mean, they can tell you how to pay this bill and not pay that bill. And they'll cut this off later. Dominion Power cut y'all quick, so wait. But pay this one first. Girl, don't worry about the sanitation bill. Just let the trash sit out there. Like, oh, God. Let me get out of here. The anointing is leaving the building. Let me sit down. But seriously, God wants you to live an abundant life. He doesn't want you to be broke, busted, and disgusted. But you got to get your mindset to know that's what he wants you to have. He don't want you to die early. I know we was up here, I'm going to tell you this and I'm going to sit down. When a young man was up here talking about how a young man had been killed that went to our church and we had a march for him, I quickly got up after he sat down and said, with all due respect, not trying to disrespect anybody's life, that did not happen to our member. We stepped out and we took care of them because they were in the city. And we are a community church, but that wasn't our member. I've already decreed and declared and covered my church to say nobody in my church is going to be murdered. Nobody in my church, my kids, my young children will not be snuffed out. I say it out loud. I cover my church with the blood of Jesus. And I'm like, you making me look like a false prophet because I didn't say it before. I ain't say it at all. I'm saying it now because I don't care about being politically correct. You know, I'm very politically correct when I'm in a, you know, I'm not. This ain't for politics. This is Jesus.
Because I decree and declare that the children of our church will not die early. They will not be murdered. They will not get in trouble with drugs. They will be covered by the blood of Jesus. They will be covered, and I believe that. And when I say it out loud, I'm telling God, I'm putting you on blast to make sure you give me what it is you put in my heart. You got to be bold and put Jesus' name on the line. In the name of Jesus, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Tell him. Tell him out loud. The boy that had the epileptic seizure to his daddy said it out loud. I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the crowd coming after the man called his name, then Jesus lifted him up, even though he looked like he was dead. Put Jesus' name on it. His name is above anything you can name. His name is above poverty. Say it if you're broke. In Jesus' name, I'm prosperous. His name is above disease. Say his name. See, our mind doesn't just need to be renewed because of what we do wrong. Our mind needs to be renewed as Christians because we let the world infiltrate our minds to make them think that the world is in more authority than us. People be like standing in line to go take a picture with the governor. When he ready to take a picture, he can take a picture with me. You ain't doing nothing but trying to get a vote. I'm not going to stand in line when I serve God in the highest position in my mind. I mean, I love it. I ain't going to lie. I like it. I mean, it helps you social media and all that stuff, but I ain't standing in line to wait on no man take no picture. I'm trying to make sure I ain't just extra. Maybe I am, but this is the way I think. I'm judging myself right now, you know. I'm going to sit down, but I need you to understand. The church is the head and not the tail. The church is above and not beneath. The church should be the lender and not the borrower. So what I'm saying is the only way the church can be that is if you bless individually. And so God is struggling to get your mind right. This sermon was 15 minutes shorter at 8 o'clock. It was 15 minutes shorter at 8 o'clock because I ain't had to plow this much. I'm still up here because some of y'all minds messed up. I need you to do this. Stand up. Just stand up. I'm sorry. If you're able, stand up. And I need you to say this. You know what? Whatever you got with your Bible, if just your Bible electronic, hold your Bible up. I just need to say this, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to get out of here. No, don't play nothing yet. You ain't play when I was getting loud, so don't play now. I didn't sit up here and got all loud and everything. You were silent. Just be quiet. I'm sitting up here, Joker looking at me. Now, seriously, say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Tell the devil, I'm armed and dangerous. Stay out of my way. Walk in that power. Yeah. The Bible says you're blessed. Yeah. So I need you to take your Bible one more time. Whatever your problem is, put it in Jesus' name. I'm not broke. I'm prosperous. I'm prosperous. There you go. I'm not sick. I'm healed. There you go. I'm not broke. I'm rich. And prosperous. Because my God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I'm blessed in the valley. And I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in my coming. And I'm blessed in my going. He's not just going to bless me. He's going to give me a good measure blessing. Press down. Shake it together. And run it over. I'm blessed. There you go. I feel better now. All right. Now, if there's anyone that wants to receive Jesus Christ, you can play now, brother. Go ahead. If there's anybody who wants to receive Jesus Christ right now, please come. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus?